Welcome to ShollyCast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. ShollyCast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening, a straight Shota visual novel game with incest, lollies, MILFs, onesans, and even a femboy character if you play Insexual Awakening 2, our sequel. If you'd like to play our games, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. And if you'd like to support Insexual Awakening's continued development and this podcast, you can join our Subscribestar at subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to ShollyCast, everyone. I'm Hydro, and I'm with Dr. X once again. And for this episode, we are joined by Yup. Welcome, Yup.
Thank you, guys. I'm very excited to be on this show with you guys. Yeah, ever since like the second episode, I wanted to try and get on this show. I love the idea of it and what you guys are doing. And I think it's fantastic for the community.
Thank you. I'm really glad that you're enjoying it. Yeah, it does remind me of a few other guests who said that like they started listening to it. And very early on, they wanted to be on. You know what? If someone else is listening and they feel that way as well, feel free to contact us. But yeah, I'm super excited to have you on the podcast, Yup.
Yeah, we really appreciate the praise, and you know, it's been an awesome journey with ShollyCast, and you know, we're getting just so many different guests, and you know, for you in particular. You are a 3D artist, which, you know, up until only the most, I would say, Dr. X, maybe the last like three or four episodes, we really hadn't had that many 3D artist guests. But now it seems like we've had quite a few, like almost in a row.
3D artists can be a little more shy about getting on the podcast, but thankfully that's been changing.
Yeah, it is tough because there is a little bit of a divide as... Like some people like stick to only 2D and consider 3D their hard stop. And yeah. So that is a little bit of a difficulty as well.
Yeah. And that makes me glad that recently we've been having more 3D people on because their art is just as valid as 2D art. Completely, completely valid and fine.
Yeah. I'd like to think so.
Yeah. I mean, I make Daz art as well. So I should be thinking along those lines.
Oh yeah, and I mean, considering how far along the technology has come, you know, one of our previous guests, Makuro, had talked about that he had worked in like 3D programs like 25 years ago or something like that, and he says it's come a long, long time for both usability and accessibility, and like we were just talking about prior to the episode starting, I mean, Blender. It is just an incredible program for being completely open source and free.
Yeah, it is a very powerful program that I've only just started to scratch the surface of.
So you do art in Daz. Like, what does your art depict usually?
So I generally do an adult male and lolly combination with a focus on like romance and... just kind of the softer side, more kind of like slice of life, I guess.
So it's like more wholesome stuff. Nice.
Yeah, sometimes that doesn't get depicted so often. And honestly, like in art in general, when it involves like a lolly and an adult man, it's lots of fucking, and that's great. But having some of the softer moments is nice too.
You know, ATF specifically has plenty of porn, and it's... You know, that's fantastic, but I am trying to kind of put into the community what I would like to see more of. And so you're trying to put in, you know, positivity, love, those kind of mushy gushy things.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually, because, you know, it's fictional and everything, but it's also nice to... portray things in a very positive way in the sense of like what kind of feeling you want the audience to feel when they're enjoying the art, right? And we have the same approach when with our games as well. because we really want to make people feel good and have kind of like a wholesome feeling when they play our games. So I imagine that's kind of the same thing with you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's just, yeah, trying to be the positive influence that I'd like to see.
Right. And I, yeah, it's like, you know, some people make kind of like darker art and that's fine. But yep. Like, I definitely don't want it to only be that, right? I don't want things to only be portrayed in a dark way, because, you know, when it comes to mental health, and everyone has different standards for like what upsets them or what affects them. But I do want art, even in this genre, on, you know, related stuff for ATF, Shoulder Molly, that makes them feel good and that isn't portrayed as necessarily dark. Because I feel like it's important that people have like a variety of different themes or feelings for mental health, I think. And it's different for everyone, but the variety definitely matters.
Yeah, variety is huge. And I mean, when Dr. X and I made like IA, one of the big things we wanted was to have all different body types and all different like types of characters. Because, you know, sometimes like it's perfectly fine to love one particular body type, but at the same time, when you get all this variety like available to you, I mean, I know this has definitely happened with me, and maybe it's happened with you too, Yup, is maybe like there's a certain type of loli body type that you enjoy, or a certain type of, you know, adult male body type you like, and then you kind of try to go outside your comfort zone. You find out, hey, you know, I actually like not only just this one type of loli or this one type of dynamic, but I actually like this dynamic too. And also just in general too, as to what kind of story or what kind of relationship is depicted too.
Absolutely, yeah. I haven't played y'all's game yet, and I really need to.
Yes, you should.
Because, yeah, I've been hearing a lot about it, watching your guys' podcast. But yeah, it's the variety, and you know, everybody likes something different, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, I admire that you're putting out there what you want to see more of in the community and in art as well. It's good drive, yeah.
And really, that's kind of the biggest thing that I kind of wanted to discuss here on the podcast was the positive effects of, I mean, specifically ATF, that has, you know, the positive effects that it has had on my life, as it's been, it has been extremely helpful.
Interesting. So in what way have you felt that ATF has been helpful for your life?
How long do we got?
Well, feel free to get into it. Yeah.
It goes back many, many years to, you know, basically when I first got into LoliCon. And so I know y'all usually start out your shows, you know, asking that question. So we'll start there. And so it was, you know, when I was a kid, and I think, let's see here, what was the shows? It was like Pokemon was one of the big ones.
Of course.
And the original Dragon Ball.
Yep. Yep.
Various, you know, animes around that time period, right? And so, yeah, I really liked, you know, Misty from Pokemon.
can't go wrong with her.
And, of course, you know, Bulma from Dragon Ball, Bulma and Chi-Chi, of course. And so, and that was all fine. I liked those characters. I was drawn to those characters. You know, as I got older, there was no issues. Again, it's still, you know, not really any issue there. But the problem was, you know, as I became an adult, and I'm still drawn to these characters. And I am a very recluse kind of person. So it's not any kind of feelings that I was able to talk to with anybody. And, you know, there's a lot of other stuff of like, you know, shitty home life and whatnot on top of that. So then it was dealing with those feelings revolving around, you know, liking LoliCon as I, you know, kind of aged up and kind of seemed that my, you know, attractions did not age up with myself.
Right, right.
So that caused a lot of mental issues, a lot of severe depression at the time. So I had also been around on Newgrounds. I think Newgrounds have been talked about a couple of times on these episodes.
Yep.
Playing some of the games on there. I remember, yeah, specifically one of them was, yeah, a Misty dress-up game. Yeah. Which always ends up just being a dress down, of course.
I mean, Newgrounds used to be just a mishmash of everything.
It was.
Like, you could find almost anything on Newgrounds. It's insane.
I think I said this in another episode, but I remember being on Newgrounds and finding a game that had like a little bit of nudity in it, and like, it's like, oh my god, this is amazing. I was a kid at the time, so, but yeah, it was a kind of magical time of discovery back then. So what I wanted to ask you, Yup, is those feelings of kind of being unsure about your attraction to those characters. Do you think that was caused by what you were seeing online, like people discussing it in a negative way?
Absolutely. Because I never felt like it was a problem until hearing other people talk about it, you know, like talk about it in school or, yeah, seeing discussions online and things like that, you know, kind of the like knock knock FBI jokes. You know, that stuff, you know, kind of hurts, you know, because you're like, huh, that's kind of directed at me. And I feel like I am not a bad person. So there's some sort of, you know, disconnect here.
Yeah, it is interesting, as we talked about in other episodes, that, you know, Hydra and I didn't grow up feeling that way, feeling negative about it. And that was in large part because we weren't really exposed to the kind of negative talk about it, really. So I guess it just really goes to show that, like, it's not something, how I see it, is that it's not something inherently human to like feel bad about like fictional art and, you know,
or right,
even different attractions or whatever. You know, and when it comes down to it, it's just, it's not about attractions, it's actions, right?
Of course.
So yeah, like, It's not an inherently human thing. It has to be taught, right? It's the same way, like, you have to be taught to be anti-gay or, you know, anything like that, right?
Exactly.
It's not something you're born with. you're not born hating gay people or anything like that. You have to be taught that, you know, according to someone, it's bad or something like that, right?
Yep, you got to be taught what's wrong.
Yeah, and sometimes what we're taught is wrong isn't actually wrong.
Exactly.
I want people to think about and to know that it's not necessarily something that we have to live with forever if we feel bad about something, about liking something, because you have to factor in like your environment and what you're exposed to, right? Because as we talked about, I didn't feel bad about it because I knew, well, it's, first of all, it's fictional. No one's getting hurt. I mean, the interesting thing about it is that I didn't even think about that aspect because like it's just something I understood inherently, if you know what I mean, right?
Sure. Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like, I don't know. You play Grand Theft Auto. I'm not constantly thinking or like trying to remind myself or reassure myself, this is fictional.
Exactly.
This is fictional. It's okay if I shoot this guy, right?
Yeah. That's what's the big difference then. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if you feel bad about it, just know that it doesn't have to be something permanent. And that it's not something that you have to feel, and it's not the way the society has to be, because we can absolutely change this, and that's what I believe, and I think the podcast helps with that, but also just how we interact with people. If you feel bad about Lolly, you shouldn't try to make other people feel bad about Lolly as well. If you know what I mean?
For sure.
I guess sometimes what ends up happening with people who are into this stuff is that they'll be talking to their IRL normie friends or something, and then one of their IRL friends will bring up Lolly and Shota, and then someone might, the LollyCon or Shotacon who's incognito, might basically shit on LollyCons and Shotacons just in order to fit in.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we really need to avoid. I know not everyone has the kind of space to do so in a way, if, you know, in a manner of speaking, but if you can, if you feel like you're safe enough to do so, you can if, you know, your friends are talking about that stuff, try to offer a different opinion that isn't like hateful and ignorant and, you know, stuff like that. And it's in a general thing. I'm not like calling on any specific person to do it, but, you know, it's something to think about. And it's something I've done myself with my IRL friends in a very gentle way, of course. And it's important to do it in a way that isn't too dangerous for you, right? But, you know, sometimes, a lot of the times, you can be empathetic and be nice and tolerant about a group of people who are marginalized without endangering yourself too much. So that's just something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the other part was, I really enjoyed, or still do enjoy, is stories. I really enjoy reading stories. And it went, I think I mostly was used to read on, it was stories.xnxx.com back in the day.
what a very early, like, 2000s kind of website name.
Yeah. And it has now since been renamed to just sexstories.com.
Much better. There we go.
But, you know, there was a lot less restrictions, of course, early 2000s. And so now they've purged half their content, and so now it's not so good. But I did start reading there and found lovely, again, romance stories that are, again, more focusing on, like, the relationship aspect. And I really enjoyed that. But then after that went down, I, you know, was trying to find somewhere else, and I was on... I don't know how you would say it at the Astr website. It's ASSTR. That had a lot of stories. It was a little bit harder to search through that one. And that went down. So I didn't have a place to find stories. And I didn't know about AO3 until a lot later. Probably like last year is when I discovered AO3. But anyway, how I found ATF was I was searching actually for Sims mods, and I found, for the specific mods, which I found on ATF, and I was going to create it. You were required to create an account to download the mods, so I originally created my account as a throwaway, hence the name Yup, because I had no intention of staying on ATF at all. I was going to make an account, get on there, download the mods, delete my account. But they have I think it's like a 3-day cooldown before you can delete your account.
Right.
So I ended up peeking around the website, and I found ATF's story section. And there was a couple just absolutely amazing, amazing romance stories. The first one I read that was immensely impactful to me was a story is called To Be Loved by Chaos Mode. And basically it's a space opera, you know, because I'm nerdy like that. But basically, you know, it's again a romance of an adult male and a loli. And it was just a beautiful story. And there was just so much positive feelings from it.
Oh, that's great.
And that led me to two more stories that were also hugely impactful was Fairy of the Fields by Arsentag, and then Story of Bella by Sojourner. And just all those three stories, I don't know, something kind of changed in me where I had a lot more positive feelings towards myself. And I don't know, maybe it was something of like, yeah, this is... what I enjoy is these love stories. So, you know, again, I guess I can't be that bad of a person.
Right.
And so it changed, and it just gave me just an entirely more positive outlook. And so I started to get kind of involved in the community of ATF and kind of talking with people and interacting. And I ended up keeping my account.
Yeah, that's great. It's because of the community on ATF. If it was just like people, like they upload their mods and that's it, there's not much reason to stay.
Yeah.
And I recognize some of those authors you mentioned, which is it's cool, like, to be able to talk about them as well, because it's a kind of interesting feeling. Like Chaos Mode, for example. Like, usually what I read is his straight Shota stuff, but yeah, I enjoy his writing, and he definitely does write stories that make you feel good. And I think that's really important, because as you were mentioning, that made you feel better, improved your mental health, because you were able to read stories that weren't portraying everything as being dark, right? You know what I mean? Because if everything, let's say every story about Law and Shota was it like a dark story, like a horror story, right? For a lot of people, that's going to not make them feel very good about what they like, yeah. Right? If all of the examples of fiction are very dark and kind of portraying it as very like sinister or something like that, right? So I'm really glad that there's authors like Chaos Mode and Sojourner and, you know, others who are making stories that make people feel good about it.
Yeah, it's especially with, you know, social media and the catered content that is presented to you, it's very easy to find oneself just stuck in a loop of negative content.
Doom scrolling. it goes to show, and I mean, I've always felt this way, that the creative medium is honestly one of the most important mediums for, I think, anybody, to not only just for entertainment, but also, I mean, we've had people play our IA and IA2 games and have said, like, you know, just how much it's like, you know, how much emotion it's, you know, created, and how they felt about it. And I think sounds like that's exactly what happened with you with the stories that you read. Like, it really can personally affect you. I mean, I remember there were books that I've read and, you know, games that I've played and animes I've watched and movies I've watched that have, like, totally impacted either me wanting to become more creative or to, you know, pursue different kinds of stories. It's essential to be able to have a creative space to be able to create the things that you want. And that's why, you know, places like ATF are so valuable, because it's not only a space where you can share your creative work, but you can also share it with other people who will talk to you about it and be excited about it. And that's very important. We talk about how when you hear from other people who share their enjoyment of what you read or what you create, and it creates a totally different feeling, and it's generally a very positive feeling that you get out of it, and it influences you to want to work on more stuff. I'm assuming that's probably how you felt, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, so, you know, first I had, with those stories, I reached out to the authors, just thanking them for writing those stories and telling them, you know, how it had impacted me. And all three of the authors replied to me with very, very well thought out replies. And they were, you know, thanking me for reaching out to them, you know, just, you know, for, you know, me thanking them for making it and them thanking me for, you know, giving them the praise. And so that was amazing. And that's really, again, you know, the community. And that's what drew me in. And so then I wanted to start making content as well, because I wanted to give into the community like they have been.
Yeah, that's great. And thank you for doing that as well, because, you know, everyone who contributes art or stories or anything like that, they really matter in the community. And I really love this feeling of helping each other out. And as you mentioned, those authors thanked you for reaching out to them. Even though, like, you were thanking them for, like, making those stories that you enjoyed. And, you know, I really like that. Yeah, it's great. And, you know, another thing I like about ATF is that compared to, like, most of the rest of the internet, it's very affirming, right, on ATF.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great place. I have been blown away almost daily on the kindness of people. So I started to get back into creating art. I used to draw as a kid, But I was, you know, shamed and bullied because I was drawing anime and that was gay, you know, like that was a negative.
Yeah, I remember Kaz was talking about how he used to draw like anime girls when he was young, and his classmates were like, that's gay. Why are you drawing like these little girls? That's gay. Why aren't you like drawing like Goku with big muscles or something?
Yeah. And then so from the bullying, I stopped doing art. I didn't create anything until I think now 2 years ago. Being on ATF, I felt like I wanted to start making art again, but I didn't know where to start because, you know, I wasn't good at drawing then, and I didn't know if I wanted to start hand drawing now. So I actually started with the AI image generators of just kind of creating like 2D stylized some kind of lolicon. And that was, you know, kind of fun being able to type words in and see stuff be spit out. But I quickly realized that there was a lot of limitations and I couldn't get exactly what I wanted out of it. And, you know, some of the artists that I had started to follow all used DAZ. And a couple of them had been encouraging me to just go ahead and download DAZ and get into it. Specifically, Sojourner was one of the big ones, you know, pushing me to get DAZ. And so I finally did, and that's where it really took off. And I have absolutely loved it so much that now I have a drive to continue to create and create things I love. And it's like I genuinely enjoy it. And so now I'm like, my creativity is back. It's crazy.
Oh, that's awesome. Like you finally found your creative calling.
Yes, exactly.
And it was all because you were part of a community that pushed you to try it, to go for it. And also it helps that DAZ is another free program. I mean, it's got lots and lots of add-ons you can get, but like it's that combination of a community that's very supportive and getting like, you know, that motivated and kind of almost being, you're almost being uplifted by users that are like-minded and, you know, want you to bring out your creativity, and, you know, you're not being called like, oh, what you're drawing is gay. but instead that, and instead they're just like that, they're just trying to push you further and want you to do it. And now you've kind of unleashed your creative potential, which is great.
Yeah, and if you go, there's a section on ATF called like 3D resources/guides or something like that. There's tons and tons of stuff there. And that's one thing I really love about ATF is that you post a question about how to use DAZ or whatever, and most likely someone will answer. Honestly, a lot of the times your question will already be answered in a thread, in a big thread with like, you know, someone compiled all this information and stuff. And I've helped people on there as well. And it feels fulfilling for me as well, because I just think about like, if I was the person asking the question, like, what would I want? And then what I would want is someone answering very promptly with lots of information that helps me. So that's kind of how I approach it. And I do have some plans to make some guides regarding DAZ and like Lolling Show art soon, hopefully this year.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I definitely want to spread the love, so to speak, and share what I've gathered and what I found out. Because, yeah, it's just like thinking about like how I would want to be treated. Honestly, this is how I approach most of my roles in general.
And how pretty much everybody should. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. If I was seeing someone who was making this kind of really cool 3D art and I was wondering how they were doing it, I'd really want to, you know, it'd be great if they were open to telling other people how they do it, right? Rather than just keeping their technique to themselves. That's really how I believe is best personally. Yeah, so I'm planning to release some guides. And so you took to DAZ pretty quickly, it sounds like.
I immediately loved it because it was pretty, you know, it's like, it's easy to get started in, but then it can be, you know, hard to get more advanced. But it, you know, it was very easy to just, yeah, drag and drop a person and drag and drop a camera and hit, you know, hit render, and you get something.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't hard to start. Then from there, I wanted to improve. And so, you know, I've had to try to learn a little bit about photography and cinematography, which are things I had never considered before, ever. I never once thought that I would get into like photography or anything like that. But so much of DAZ, you know, comes from photography. That I was kind of forced to have to like learn some of this stuff of, yeah, lighting and, you know, exposure and just depth of field and
focal length.
Yeah. And all of this stuff that I did not care about 2 years ago that now I'm enjoying learning.
Are there any like resources in particular that you felt like really helped you with your understanding of photography? Because I've been thinking about learning a little bit about it myself for the same reasons you've been mentioning, because so much of DAZ is kind of based off of the photography kind of mechanics. Because, you know, you click on a camera in DAZ and you know, it's got the depth of field, it's got all sorts of things that are basically the same as a camera, right?
No, for me, it's just been looking around YouTube for, you know, photography, like photography basics, or, yeah, photography lighting basics, or, you know, camera settings basics. And just like I can't say there's one specific resource, but it's been, I mean, mostly YouTube. I mean, I'm a visual learner, so YouTube is always where I go. Yeah, not even looking up DAZ related stuff, but just in the search bar specifically talking about photography and cameras, and that stuff translates just directly to DAZ.
Oh, it does. And I have to say that the camera is important, and also lighting is super, super important, especially if it is kind of pornographic. I feel like bad lighting is a very big deal for pornography, right? Because you want to see the action, or at least that's how I feel, right? And if it's the scene is too dark, or, you know, the lighting is a little off, I feel like it's a bit of a distraction, and I feel like bad lighting, it's a barrier to like how the person or creator wants to deliver their art. I feel like, because you're not seeing everything that they want to show you. And I think that's also, of course, true for art that isn't pornographic as well. But, you know, I look at a lot of porns. That's what I've been thinking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and lighting also sets a particular mood, too.
Yes. So unless you like really want to like portray like a night scene or something, or like a scene or environment that's really not very well lit, consider upping your lighting game. For example, like I haven't like released a lot of DAZ art lately because I'm still working on lots of behind the scenes stuff, but I plan to later on. But anyways, when I had been releasing stuff, I even like figured out a way to like use an HDR within an indoor environment, just because I care so much about lighting. Tricks like that, they really matter. I did it that way because it's kind of a pain in the ass to set up indoor lighting with all the light sources and stuff. But I'd like to learn that as well. But, you know, that was just a trick I utilized. And are there any tricks so far that you've learned with lighting?
Fantastic question. I like to use an HDR a lot. Even on indoor scenes as well.
And is that because it's like very straightforward?
Yeah, it's super easy to use the HDR stuff. Yeah, it's kind of plug and play. You put it in and then you rotate it as you need, pretty much.
And it's fantastic. But I will say that, yeah, not using only an HDR, because that's something that I have found. So I originally was doing, you know, like 3-point lighting setup for everything. And that can be a bit, you know, cumbersome to set up for every single scene.
Yes.
And so then I had gone to an HDRI or an HDRI with maybe one other light as a fill light. But then I was kind of wondering why I almost seemed to kind of decline in my art quality. And I realized it's I actually just need to do more. I need more lights. And like, not more lights isn't always the answer, but more lights in the appropriate positions. And so I can't do just an HDRI or just an HDRI and a fill. So I have, made sure to do, the like rim light or lights to light the background, things like that. So it is adding more lights, but in the appropriate positions. And unfortunately, there's just no shortcut. It's not as easy as using just an HDRI and calling it good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as someone who did experiment with like videography and photography and like having to deal with lights, it is definitely a bitch in IRL too. Especially when you don't understand it. And you're just like, God, why did my photo or video come up so fucking dark? It's like, I have all these lights here, but it's still dark. So yeah, I can understand how difficult that can be.
And again, the community has been massively helpful. I initially was nervous to reach out to some of these artists because to me, they're like almost like celebrities. And some of them I have followed for years and they have created, just amazing, incredible content that, yeah, I really do see them as almost like celebrities. So I was nervous to reach out, but I have tried to do it more and more. And luckily, surprisingly, every interaction has been fantastic. The artists are willing to give up their secrets. And also I've reached out to artists and just be like, hey, how can I see your lighting setup for this scene that you did in this, image? And yeah, they'll do a screenshot of their DAZ setup and showing their lighting and showing the settings they used and everything. And it has been massively helpful and has given me more confidence to reach out more often and ask the questions.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you think of it, they're just people like you and me, right? And in the same way, you might be delighted if someone reaches out to you, they're delighted if you reach out to them. I feel like that's true in a lot of cases, right? And just like how you mentioned that, like when you had reached out to those authors, they were very kind with you and even thanked you for reaching out to them, because a lot of people in the community in general, they're seeking friendship and companionship, or just exchanging nice words with someone else. So yeah, it's definitely a very important thing. And I can totally understand why when you went to ATF and you started getting involved, that you felt better and your mental health improved.
It's been amazing. I can't truly explain how much my life has turned around, because that's the 10-hour life story, but it has been amazingly helpful. And I understand that ATF might not be a positive influence for some people. It depends on how you use ATF.
Yes.
And so that can have a negative effect on some people, and so maybe it's best for those people to not be on ATF. But just for me, getting involved in the community aspect, that part has been overwhelmingly positive to, again, just immense depression to just great positivity. It's astounding.
that's fantastic. I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah.
ATF may not be for everyone. And in that case, someone might be better off on like Athe or Brag. But for a lot of people, ATF is hugely important. It's hugely important to me because I really admire ATF. And, it's not perfect, of course, but it serves an extremely important role, I think, for lolicons, shotacons, and other kinds of people like that. Having community that doesn't shame them for how they feel. And, being able to post any kind of art you want, any kind of fictional art you want, is very fucking important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Essential. It's like essential for creative expression and freedom,
especially whenever we hear some other site no longer allowing Lolly and Shutter or something like that. But ATF is still there. It's been there for several years, so it's, you know, I can't overstate how important it is.
Yeah, as the number of sites dwindle, ATF becomes significantly more important. And yet, you know, the next part of it is your podcast that you're doing here, and, you know, getting the word out to more people and giving a platform for just normal fucking people like me to speak. It's amazing. It cannot be overstated how influential this podcast is and will continue to be. It's like, yeah.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say. And that's, you know, that's exactly like what we want with podcast. Like basically we wanted to make a podcast that if we were just, you know, a couple normal lolicons or shotacons, that we would very much enjoy and find affirming and, you know, find beneficial to the community. That's exactly what we wanted to do, because that's what we wanted to see in the world, because we weren't currently seeing that. Right. It's like, it's important that just, you know, regular people like you or me have a voice, right? And it's not just the, you know, like the, you know, the you know, the people who are they've built their followings through drama, and they have millions of subscribers or whatever, and, you know, they're presenting things very negatively and unfairly because that's what makes them money, right?
Yep.
That we wanted to do something very differently. We want to do something very positive, where we lift people up, and we're fair with people, and we're not judgmental to people. So yeah, I'm super glad that you enjoy the podcast and that we're doing the podcast, and that you're on the podcast right now, because we've been having a very, very great discussion so far.
And we've already seen positive impacts. You know, we've gotten messages from many people that have said that our podcast has basically taken them out of, like, whatever, you know, bad feelings or bad thoughts they might have had, or, you know, they might have been maybe a difficult space one day, or was having a bad day, and then, you know, they hear our podcast and they feel that much better. And that's exactly what Dr. X and I wanted to accomplish. It was one of the things we wanted to accomplish, was that to help people out and basically push back against negativity and instead just spread positivity and let that be very infectious, and let that, you know, spread to others and influence them, either just to feel better about themselves. I mean, really, that's the biggest thing, is if you can feel good about yourself, then that's already making a huge impact.
Yep, just spreading positivity. That is literally all I'm trying to do. And why I love this podcast is just, yeah, spreading positivity. Very, very simply, that is it. Positivity.
Yep, and you're doing that with your art as well, as you mentioned. It's very, like, wholesome, like romantic stuff. So, as a kind of preview for your art, like, can you describe some of the scenes that you've created? I'm really curious.
Sure. Initially, I didn't have any kind of story in mind. I was just kind of, you know, depicting, you know, kind of couples, you know, hugging or just kissing, or, you know, standing out on a beautiful bridge or something out in nature, with no story in mind. But now I have started a longer form story. I mean, it's more a series of short stories of two characters, the primary male character and the primary female character. And it is just a story of, you know, how they met, and you know, them talking to each other and getting to know each other and just kind of, you know, falling in love. And so a lot of the images are, you know, might kind of seem boring, or some of the text is just a lot of conversation. And so it's, you know, a guy and a girl sitting in a cafe talking. But, you know, as it's gone along, they are, you know, slowly becoming, you know, more intimate, more loving. And, you know, this is just trying to show the building of a relationship. So I haven't done any sex scenes. I probably will in the future, but it's just not my focus.
Oh, I totally get that. Yeah.
If the story calls for it, it will happen. But yeah, the primary focus is the relationship and the companionship and the like just closeness in general, and you know, closeness other than just sex.
Exactly, because like, because there's not a whole lot of stories out there like that are like that, because of the kind of couple it is, the adult man and a lolly, right?
Exactly.
Even without sex, that might not be allowed on other sites, right? Most likely. So yeah, you're doing a great thing. Yeah, exactly.
Just vaguely romantic, and it would not be acceptable anywhere.
Yep.
Probably wouldn't even be acceptable if they were like friends that hung out. Wouldn't surprise me.
There would still be an issue, yeah. And so, that is my art. I'm not the best artist in the world by any means, but you know, I continuously work to improve. You know, basically, the only thing I can guarantee is wholesomeness.
Very nice.
Sounds good to me.
The world that these two main characters live in is just kind of a fantasy world where nothing bad happens. And so it's completely unrealistic, you know, because life is hard and bad shit happens all the time. You know, the two characters, they're kind of, you know, a little bit secretive and a little bit concerned with their relationship for obvious reasons. But then everything just kind of works out for them. Nothing bad ever happens. People around them, for some reason, are just kind of okay with it. You know? And so completely unrealistic, but I love it.
Honestly, I think that's stories like that are really important too, right? Because they can be a form of escapism for people, right? And that can be a very important part of mental health, is having stories like that that kind of take you away from the real world and, you know, all of its problems. And in a way, you know, the games we make are like that as well, because it's a how we've often described it is like it's a more sickly free world and a better world in general.
Yeah.
So less bad things happen, right? So which really facilitates that good wholesome feeling that players get when they play it, and that's not exactly what you want. So it's not a bad thing if it's not totally realistic, because it's a story, and you know, as you mentioned, you want people to feel good when they look at your images or read your story or read the dialogue.
Yeah, exactly.
Writing stories also allows you to, and I'm sure this probably happened with you when you were writing the story, you probably got a lot of influence from your own personal, you know, either your struggles or how maybe you just wanted to feel, and like the positive outcomes, and you know, that's I think what a lot of creative people do, is they take their own experiences or kind of think of their own interpretation as to how they would like the world to be, how they would like to see a relationship be, and people catch on with that. People like, when people read stories like that, like your stuff, I think they know when someone is being very genuine with their feelings and their emotions in the story.
I hope so. I certainly hope so. Is I, yeah, not a very good writer. Another thing I'm working on, because I am adding, you know, text with the images to be more of a visual novel. So I'm hoping that those feelings are conveyed. Like for example, one of the short stories was basically the girl's mother catching the two of them together, not in any compromising situation, but just that they are physically sitting next to each other in her house, and the mother's response was, you know, why didn't you tell me about this guy? And the problem was not that she was with anybody. The problem was that the daughter was not open and honest with the mother. And so there was the discussion and kind of explanation of their relationship. And the mother is, you know, talking to the male, you know, obviously about protecting her daughter, and, you know, the whole, you know, parent talking about their, you know, child being in a relationship kind of talk. And the mother talking to the daughter about, you know, just in the future, be open and honest with me so that we can talk about things. And you know, work through the relationship and work through the feelings. And so the response from the mother was not about the nature of the relationship, but only in that, you know, she wants the daughter to be more open. And I think that that was a great response. You know, I mean, that would kind of be, again, probably unrealistic, but it's, you know, like a mother being motherly still.
That, you know, the funny thing is that sounds like something that could happen in the IA world very easily.
Yeah, yes.
So you had mentioned that you are starting to dabble in Blender. Is there anything specific that you wanted to do in Blender, like animation, or did you want to do modeling or both, or what were you thinking of doing?
I mean, animation seems very far off. I would love to do animation, but that, to me, it feels like probably 10 years down the line. Because Blender is extremely difficult compared to DAZ. My primary focus right now, and why I wanted to get into DAZ specifically, I mean, get into Blender specifically, was for like editing meshes. So, you know, DAZ has a lot of issues with clipping, and the simulation in DAZ is just not very good. Like, if you're wanting to simulate like cloth or simulate water, DAZ is not very good at it. And it's very difficult to work with. And, you know, other things like having multiple objects physically interact with each other just doesn't work in DAZ. Like, say, two characters sitting on a bed in DAZ. You can only have one interaction, one character interacting with the bed, you know, causing some kind of divot in the bed. You can't have both characters influencing the bed. And so that is immediately a problem for me because I deal with couples.
Yep.
And so that means I would have to take it over to Blender and manually put in those divots into the bed. And so that's what I'm trying to learn. Why I'm trying to learn Blender is to be able to, edit those meshes and, make the clothing look more natural and make the characters' interactions with other objects more natural. It's very difficult in DAZ.
Yes, there is a tool called Mesh Grabber. However, it's still not as comfortable to use compared to Blender machine. At this point, I'm very comfortable making edits in Blender to put back into DAZ at this point, thankfully. If someone does DAZ art, learning Blender is very useful, unless you're doing like very simple scenes. As you mentioned, if there's any kind of interaction between objects or a character and an object, it's very useful to have Blender because DAZ is kind of limited in its ability to show that kind of interaction. So far, have you had any success in making those morphs and then putting them back into Blender? DAZ, I mean.
No, I have not been very successful.
Well, if you need any tips, I can probably help you a little bit.
I would love some tips. So far, I've been able to export things from DAZ over to Blender, and I can get my characters in there, and I can get my scenes in there. So that's the first step. Step two that I'm working on is, just learning the tools in Blender to be able to, manipulate the meshes in a way that looks good, because I can absolutely go in there and move points around, but does it look good and natural? And so that's I'm working on and learning all of the tools, because all the tools have a billion settings in Blender.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So it is learning the tools. That's all I'm doing right now, I guess, is just learning the tools in Blender.
I'll give you a tip ahead of time, so just so you can keep this in mind, that you need to make sure the vertex order is the same when you're exporting something out of DAZ and importing it into Blender and then exporting it back into DAZ. Because if the vertex order is not the same, what's going to happen is you make your edits in Blender and you put it back into DAZ, and then you use your morph, and then the mesh is going to explode. It's very unsightly.
So suddenly the lolly's head will explode.
More or less. It's a bunch of like jagged edges and stuff like that. I'm telling you this now, just so you don't like spend a whole lot of time on a morph and then it's wasted because it explodes when you put it back into DAS. Although there are some ways to fix an incorrect vertex order as well.
So how do you prevent that from happening? How do you keep your vertex order?
All right. So when you import something from Blender, for example, what I usually use, I'm opening Blender right now just to...
So it's a lot live Blender tips and shall we cast.
Yeah, exactly. Live Blender tips.
That might need to be a whole nother section. Yeah.
And so when you import it, usually what I use is wavefront.obj legacy, right? And then by default, it will not keep the vertex order, which is very bad. So if you go over to the geometry section that comes up with the window, and then you'll see keep vert order, and you're going to want that selected.
Okay, gotcha.
And I would also select polygroups, right? So do that. And also, once you're done with your edit and then you export the OBGA, once again, I use the legacy version for some reason. You're going to also make sure you're going to click on geometry and you're going to click on keep vertex order. And that's very important. And as I mentioned, there are ways to fix an incorrect vertex order. However, it is more work. So it's just better to make sure that everything is set up correctly the first time.
I appreciate that. Yeah. No, I think you could probably do an entire another show on just DAS and Blender tips.
Honestly, I think I could. I mean, recently I've been scripting in DAS and you know, and doing scripts in Blender as well because I'm a programmer. Because it was only a matter of time before I started scripting for those programs because that's how I am as a programmer.
Because you were sick of having to do everything manually.
Yeah, it's a real pain and takes longer. You know, I've been scripting tons of stuff that makes it easier to make a long shot art, basically, and you know other kinds of art. What I've been really working on recently is using a wrap to morph the DAS head or DAS body to match another character, like from say like a game or something like that, which is very often what you see in Shonen Loli porn is that they use like a model from a game or something like that. But yeah, I've been doing lots of scripting for that kind of stuff, and you know, in general, I'm looking forward to releasing a few tips for DAS and Blender soon.
Yeah, I'll definitely keep my eye out for that on ATF. You said in the resources section?
Yeah. If you haven't been there, you really should check that out.
Oh, yeah. I've been around there, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be making thread there eventually. There's lots of stuff to talk about, so I can't give an ETA yet. But yeah, I enjoy helping people out, and I'm glad I gave you that little tip that might save you some time and frustration.
I might explain some things that have already happened.
Have you had anything explode on you yet?
I have had many things explode, both in DAS and Blender. Yes. Many explosions.
Yep. Especially when like you're trying to simulate D-Force, Jesus. It can get awful.
D-Force is difficult. And again, that's the huge reason for wanting to learn Blender is because the D-Force and DAS does not work the way I want it to.
So and in terms of the kind of characters you create or the characters you enjoy, what can you say about them, like what kind of like adult man do you like with the lollies, what kind of lollies do you like, do you have like a certain type?
Actually, yeah, I have kind of found that I have fallen into some specific likes. Yeah, for the male is generally, I mean, it's kind of a self-insert. So the male is nerdy, awkward, shy, in some kind of tech job or something. And so several of the male characters kind of are in that ballpark. And then the female characters are generally like a little bit thicker thighs, just a little bit.
Nice.
They're not opi, not anything near opi, but yeah, just a little bit. And then unfortunately I am a sucker for blonde hair, blue eyes.
I had a feeling I called it.
It's unfortunately it's a stereotype that I fall into.
Oh, you're not the only one.
I mean, it's a nice visual combo, especially on Loli characters. It's really, really nice.
Yep. It's the blue eyes. A lot of the renders I have done of my main character, Cassandra, there's been a lot of emphasis on her eyes.
And usually, how old are the characters, like the Loli characters you make?
So Cassandra is 10-ish, but I have several characters going up to, you know, between 10 up to 16-ish. You know, one of the characters that I'm working on is actually Armenian, so I'm not stuck in one type either.
Oh yeah, I appreciate all sorts of lolis for sure. As you can tell, if someone plays our games, you can tell that we appreciate a variety of lolis. And you can even if you have like an absolute favorite, right? So in your case, maybe you have a very special affection for the blonde lollies with blue eyes, but
yes,
you can also appreciate the other ones.
Exactly. Yeah. Cassandra is my pride and joy. So gorgeous. Yeah. Her cuteness just melts my freaking heart and kills me. But then also, you know, on the complete flip side is this Armenian girl who I'm creating for a war story. It's a war love story, more focusing on the love and relationship aspect, of course, but in a war-torn country of, you know, kind of Armenia-ish, but not really, you know, Armenia-Georgia-esque. And so she is a lot different than Cassandra, as Cassandra's probably, you know, a normal American girl, whereas this other character, Petra, is like a warrior and a leader in a rebellion, you know? So it's like a complete flip.
dang, a warrior rebellion lolly leader? Sweet.
Yeah.
And how old is she?
I haven't canonized an age yet, but 14, 15-ish. And yeah, so it's going to be an entirely different relationship dynamic with her and then the male protagonist. So it'll be a completely different dynamic.
Sounds like Fire Emblem. there's even a character called Petra who's like, I think she starts out as 15 years old. It reminds me a lot a lot of that. Yes, yes. Yeah, if anyone is fond of like, you know, young characters fighting in a war, they should play Fire Emblem for sure, because there's lots of those.
It just makes me think of the Pro ZD skit.
And I don't think I've played Fire Emblem. I played, there's a knockoff of Fire Emblem. I'm trying to remember.
Is it recent?
I don't know. It's been a long time. I've played a lot of games. I don't know what's recent or not anymore. Something I think is recent is 10 years old. But it was, I think it's like the same as Fire Emblem, but it's the fantasy world of some other game. You know, maybe it's Legend of Zelda, but maybe not.
Another interesting thing about Fire Emblem is in a few games, you can romance a shooter or loli character as an adult character.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, it's interesting. So that's, another way it kind of reminds me of your story that you're making is the romance and the young characters in a war thing.
Yep.
But yeah, so there's Awakening, Fire Emblem Awakening, that where you can romance a shooter or loli. There's Fire Emblem Fates. There's a Fire Emblem Engage, but not if you're playing in the English localization, because they got rid of that. Of
gross.
Course.
No. Dummies. Now, is your Armenian lolly, is she going to like amass a rebellion army of other lollies?
I don't think I'm going to make it, you know, quite like a harem or anything like that. For the most part, it's going to be a normal, you know, rebellion. You know, a group of ragtag freedom fighters, but just that, you know, the war's been going on since she was very, very little. You know, her dad fought for the freedom fighters for however many years, and she just, you know, naturally fell into the role, and, you know, everyone loved her father, and she was the natural one to take his position, kind of thing. So other than her being quite young, it's a very, I don't know, average rebellion.
So it still sounds like a very fun and intriguing story, though. Like, very, like, cool dynamics and stuff.
And if someone wants to check out your stuff on ATF, like, what is your, first of all, what is your username on ATF exactly?
Yeah, it is Yup 2.0.
And that's with three P's?
That's with three P's, yep. Yup 2.0. And then my thread is in the 3D art section, and it is called Yup's Romantic Renders.
That'll be in the 3D Lolly artwork, specifically the user art section of it.
Yes. I might end up making a thread in the story section with a visual novel tag, but I'm still kind of thinking about that. I may not. Not sure yet.
Well, visual novels are great. They're a great starting point.
Oh, and I have a thread in the writing section that is a collection of romance stories on and off of ATF. And it is stories, you know, that I think have, you know, a lot of romance or a good focus on romance. And they're kind of a heart rating of, you know, 0, 1, 2, or 3 hearts of the amount of romance. See, the ratings are not how good the stories are or the quality of the writing. I don't do that. I don't rate people's writing. It is merely, yeah, just like how much romance I kind of feel there is in the story.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So, you know, if anyone is really into like the more romantic lolly stories, they should totally check that thread out.
Yeah.
Seal's recommendations. Yeah. Well, that was a great episode with you, Yup, and I'm super, super happy that ATF positively impacted your life so much, and I'm thankful for ATF for providing that for some people, such as yourself, that it really helps with mental health to know that you're not alone and that people in the community want to support each other, and yes, it's just hugely important.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me here.
Yeah, of course. We've had a great episode with you, and thank you for reaching out and asking to be on.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. We love it when people will want to be on and are excited about it, and we're more than happy to have you on. So thank you.